I chose to have both the prophecies from Isaiah as well as the gospel readings read as part of our worship each Sunday this Advent, because it's good to see, I think, how the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures in the New Testament together, the whole of God's Word, has a word for us in our day. Let's pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations, the reflections in each of our minds and hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What are you afraid of? Do you have memories of a time when you were really scared? I remember when I was about 10 years old and I went to my first church camp, junior camp they called it. It was out in the country in middle Georgia, July, 90 degrees, hot. And one day in that camp, my first experience of camp, I was out in the bunkhouse with three of my buddies, and a summer storm blew in. Now, this bunkhouse had a corrugated tin roof on it, and I could see the lightning strikes hitting in the field outside. Everybody else at the camp was over in the nice big wooden pavilion, more safe than I felt like I was, and I was terrified. I watched the lightning bolts coming down, and so I hunkered down. I hid underneath the bunk bed. Made of steel, of course. Not going to be very helpful in a lightning storm. And I remember those three friends of mine and I praying over and over again the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Over and over again. I was terrified. I thought I was going to die. Well, that was as a child. More recently, just two summers ago, when I did my long bike trip from Yorktown, Virginia to Astoria, Oregon with Roger Kennel. There was one day particularly, somewhere in Kentucky in the Appalachian Mountains, steep mountain, winding roads, no shoulder, and the coal truck started coming by. Now Roger, he's a pretty smart guy, he would get off the road and let the trucks go by, but not me. I have a little bit of a bullheaded part of me, and so I thought, I have a right to be on this road. I'm going to stay on the road anyway. And so I kept the line right at the edge as the trucks went by, until three tandem trucks went by all at the same time, blasting by and almost blew me off the road, and I was in shock. My heart was pounding in me. The next truck I saw coming up behind me, I ditched on the side of the road too. You know, Roger's a pretty smart guy. I was terrified. I was never so happy to get off of a highway and turn on the next county road than I was on that day. What are you afraid of? Do you have memories of a time like that when you were scared? What have you been afraid of at a deeper level in your life? What brings fear into your life? The sign in American Sign Language for scared is this. Would you just do that with me? Like this. It's like that rush of panic that's in you, but it also creates a wall. When you're afraid, it blocks you from experiencing life that's full and joyful, from experiencing God's presence and God's love, the good things of life. Being scared creates a barrier between you and the abundant life that Jesus, that God wants for you. And the sign for fear is this. This is an F, like this. Would you do that with me? Fear. It's like those dreadful things rushing at you, but again, it creates a wall. It creates a barrier that keeps you from experiencing life that is good and free and joyful and experiencing God's presence. What are your fears, your deep down fears, that may keep you from experiencing God? Our theme is, what are you waiting for? We're waiting for Christ to come in new ways into our lives. I wonder if our fears, our deep down fears, not just those scary moments, but our deep down fears don't sometimes block us from experiencing Christ coming into our life and into our world. Well, if you look around us in the world, there are all kinds of things that put fear into our hearts, aren't there? Just the last few weeks since I started working on these sermons, I've been paying attention to the news. There is the impeachment process, and some of us are afraid that Trump's going to get reelected and continue to abuse power. Others of us are afraid that the Democrats will get elected and bring socialism. Fears, real fears for our country on both sides. Immigration. Some of us fear that a wall is going to be put up and it's going to exclude people who are in deep distress and need the safety and the resources of our country. And others are afraid that immigrants are going to come in and overtake our culture and create problems for us. Fear. Terrorism. ISIS, we read about in the news. The buildup of nuclear weapons, North Korea, Iran. Or what about gun violence? Shootings in the schools, or shootings in the streets, or school or police shootings that create fear in us, that excite the amygdala. I'm not a brain expert about brain chemistry, but the amygdala gets lit up in our brains and causes that fright, that fear in us, the things that are going on in the world. Not too long ago, I heard about a new mosquito-borne virus, the equine encephalitis virus that's even worse than West Nile, that has no effective prevention and no effective treatment. And fear rises up. Oh, I better be careful about those mosquitoes. Or what about the new strains of flu that we've gotten our vaccinations? Have you gotten your flu vaccination? But maybe the flu this time will be a different strain of virus that the vaccine won't take care of. What about drunk drivers? Did you see the story about the priest? The 70-something-year-old priest in Chicago who came out of a Christmas party drunk and he killed two of the teachers in the Catholic school. Drunk drivers in the holiday season. And now we have legalized cannabis, and so how is cannabis use going to affect driving and potentially more problems? There are all kinds of things in the news that create that fear within us. How do those fears, we're surrounded by them every day in the news, they get people to watch because we're wired to pay attention to things that scare us. It's part of our survival instinct. We're wired to pay attention to that. So that's why it's so much in the news. But it creates a fear in us that scares us, that brings fear, that blocks us from having a full and abundant life and from experiencing God's coming, Christ's coming in our lives every day. At the very personal level, what about fear of that dread diagnosis, cancer, heart disease? Fear of problems in our families, dysfunction, anger, arguments, divorce. Fear about financial distress, getting laid off of our job, having our retirement savings dwindle down. Very personally, those deep down existential fears deep in us that prevent us from experiencing the goodness that God wants for us in our lives. What is it for you? What things scare you deep down and maybe hinder, maybe block your experiencing the goodness that God wants for you, Christ coming for you in new and blessed ways? Well, of course, fear is as old as time. It's as old as human history. We see it in our two scripture readings this morning. Over 2,000 years ago. In Isaiah, he paints that beautiful picture of the peaceable kingdom. This is 2nd Isaiah. He's in exile. The people of Israel, God's children, have been taken off captive by Babylon. They're in a strange land. They're prisoners. And Isaiah, 2nd Isaiah, paints a wonderful picture. Harmony and peace in creation. The desert's going to bloom. The wilderness is going to spring up with springs of water. A beautiful picture. Humans who have illnesses, the blind are going to see again, the deaf are going to hear, those who can't talk are going to talk, the lame are going to walk again. And it's going to be a highway leading out of captivity, out of that dreadful, scary captivity, leading back, a holy way back to the promised land. It's a beautiful and wonderful picture, and in the middle of it, we see the very real fear that's present for God's children as prisoners captive in an alien land. Strengthen the weak knees. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. They're literally shaking. Their knees are knocking with fear in their captivity. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not be afraid. In the midst of the vision of joy, there's an acknowledgement of the deep down existential fear that they might die, they might suffer, they might be persecuted and oppressed, they might not make it back to the promised land. Even the picture of the holy way, that highway going back to the promised land, did you hear it says nothing impure, nothing unclean will be on that way. Things that scared them, people who scared them, unclean, impure, even fools. Now that's a promise. Even fools will not be there on that highway. And there won't be any scary lions, no ravenous beasts. Underneath the wonderful picture, 2 Isaiah is talking to a deep down existential fear in their hearts. And in the Gospel of Matthew, this wonderful story, we see the promise of the Messiah who was coming to bring that peaceable kingdom. We see that promise fulfilled in a young woman, Mary, betrothed to Joseph. Tradition tells us he's an old man, just like this Joseph. Mary and Joseph betrothed together. And Mary is impregnated with the Holy Spirit, and she's going to bring forth a new king. A king who's going to bring justice and compassion. A king who's going to bring peace and goodwill to all people. One problem, of course, they aren't married yet. I think it's hard for us today to understand the social stigma in first century Palestine, a man's world for a man who is engaged and finds out that his betrothed is pregnant. And Joseph is afraid. He's afraid. He's afraid of disgrace. Disgrace on himself, his own honor. It tells us he was a righteous man. Can you imagine a righteous man and finding out that he's been cuckolded, that his betrothed is pregnant? And the wonderful part of this story is he's not just concerned about himself. He's not just afraid for himself. He's afraid for Mary. He's worried that she's going to be disgraced and dishonored, and so he quietly decides to separate, to go their separate ways, to give her a divorce, to spare her that disgrace. Fear. Fear of what society might say, what society might do, fear about what would happen to them in their lives because of this embarrassing, disgraceful situation in that century. But then Joseph has a dream, and in the dream the angel comes and speaks to him and says what? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child in her is conceived of the Holy Spirit, and she's going to bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. Yeshua, Yahweh saves, God saves. And you will call him Emmanuel, God is with us. A wonderful promise, the fulfillment of that promise of one coming to bring a peaceable kingdom, and yet underneath that existential fear. Fear about what that might mean. It's as old as time, as old as the scriptures, as current as our own lives. Fears that get in the way, that plague us, that block us from having the full and good life God wants. And seeing Christ coming among us anew. In the second account of the birth of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, it says that the angel appeared to Mary and tells her, "Do not be afraid." Evidently, Mary had some fear too. And then, as David said, shared with us so wonderfully, the shepherds out in the field, quietly minding their business, tending their flocks, and the angel appears, and they're afraid, and the angels say, "Do not be afraid." In the King James Version, it says, "They were sore afraid." That phrase jumped into my mind when I started working on this sermon, because when we're afraid, it makes us sore. It churns in us. It creates a panic. It creates a barrier that blocks us from the good life God wants, and from seeing God's presence among us. They were sore afraid. Where are you sore afraid? Where do your fears, your deep down fears, get in the way of experiencing the abundant life God wants for you and God's presence coming into your life? Psychologists tell us, like my friend Dr. Doug Lamb, I told him I was going to mention him in the sermon, and he didn't believe me. He's a retired clinical psychology professor and director of the counseling center at ISU. Psychologists like Doug tell us that there are four essential existential fears that affect all of us. The fear of death, and I would include in that suffering and pain and death. The fear of being alone, broken relationships, our relationships getting disrupted and our having to be alone. The fear of freedom and responsibility. I've got to make it on my own. How am I going to do that? The fear of freedom and the responsibility that comes with freedom. And the fourth one is the fear of a loss of meaningfulness in our life. The fear that maybe my life doesn't have any purpose after all. Four existential fears that affect us, that block us from the full life God wants and from seeing God's presence in our lives. Now, I think that all of those four fears can be found in the two scripture readings this morning. If this was a Bible study, I'd have to spend some time discussing that. But your homework, did you know you're going to get homework this morning? is to go home and think about the Isaiah story of God's people in captivity, longing to go back to the promised land, and the story of Mary, Joseph, and the fear there. Think about how those four existential fears have a play in those stories. Fear of death and suffering and pain, fear of death, fear of being alone, having our relationships disrupted, fear of freedom and responsibility, having to make it on our own, fear of not having meaning and purpose in life. Think about how those are present in those stories, and think about how those are present in the story of your own life, and how those deep down existential fears block you from seeing Christ coming and experiencing the life of peace and justice and joy and compassion and beauty that God wants for our lives. Wherever it is, when we experience those fears, what are the three classic F responses? When you're scared, when you experience fear, what are the three responses that start with the letter F? Fight, flight, fight and flight, and freeze. That's the sign for freeze. Fight, flight, and freeze. As I thought about this, I realized that in the case of active shooters in school, that's what they tell you to do, only in a different order. First is flight, if you can do that. Second is freeze, lock the door and hunker down if you can't flee. And the third is fight as a last resort. Some brave souls jump up and fight right away, and the police come and they fight to disable the shooter. But those same classic responses, flight, fight, or freeze. But the scripture readings this morning give us a fourth F. That's the good news this morning. The good news, there's a fourth F. It's not just fight or flight or freeze. There's also faith. If we have faith, it can help us manage those fears that rise up in us. The scary moments, the deep down existential fears. If we have faith in God, faith in ourselves, faith in one another. If we have faith, it's not going to make those fears go away, but it can help us live through the fears and find the kind of meaningful life and find God's presence coming to us every day. In Isaiah, because of his faith, even though they're in captivity, even though they're being oppressed by their enemies, Isaiah is able to say, there's going to be a beautiful and wonderful kingdom of harmony and peace and joy. The desert's going to bloom. The wilderness is going to spring up with waters. And people are going to see again. They're going to not be blind or deaf or lame or speechless, either physically or spiritually. They're not going to be spiritually blind and spiritually deaf anymore. And there's going to be a holy way, and nothing dangerous, nothing scary is going to be on it. Because of faith, Isaiah was able to preach a vision of the peaceable kingdom and a Messiah leading them back to a promised land. Faith helps overcome the fear and helps us live the kind of life God wants us to live and find God present in it, even in the scary times. And for Joseph and Mary, The angel said, "Do not be afraid." And Joseph did take Mary as his wife. And Mary did take Joseph as her husband. And she did bear a son. And they did call him Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh saves, Emmanuel, God is with us. Because of faith, they overcame the fear of what society might say or do. Because of faith, they were able to move on and bring into the world a Savior who would bless their family and bless God's chosen people and bless all the world and transform our fears into hope and joy and peace and love again. And so for us, what are we waiting for, and what are we afraid of that gets in the way of our experiencing the joy and the peace and the love that God wants for us in our world and in our lives? What is blocking us? What fears for us if we have faith? If we have that fourth F, we can manage the fight and the flight and the freeze, and we can manage the deep existential fears, and we can see God present leading us forward into a time of hope. One of the most fearful times in my life was when my wife Ellen had surgery. She was 27 years old, and she had had high blood pressure for several years. We were poor, and there was a doctor who had compassion on seminary students and treated us without charging us very much money, but he was an old-fashioned doctor. When she said about her blood pressure, he said, "Well, just don't worry your little head about it. Take this pill." Well, we got our first church. We moved to a new doctor, and the new doctor said, "You're in your 20s. You shouldn't have high blood pressure. There must be something wrong." So he did a battery of tests and discovered she had a congenital urinary tract problem. She had a double ureter going from her kidney to her bladder, so her urine would go to the bladder, and it would back up, and the bottom half of her kidney stewed in its own juices. She had a diseased kidney. It had to come out. Ordinarily, they take out the whole kidney because one kidney is enough for you. You actually have four times as much kidney as you need. They said because she was so young and we hoped to get pregnant and have a baby, he said, "We're going to cut the kidney in half and take off just the bottom lobe," a much more complicated surgery. She's got a whole bunch of staples in there suturing the top half of that kidney together right now, and it always shows up on an x-ray. A scary surgery to correct the problem of her blood pressure. We had shaking hands and feeble knees. We were knocking with fear. And I remember that day in the waiting room when she went in for the surgery, a four-hour surgery. I was scared. I decided I would work on a sermon. I had my Bible. I had a pad of paper and a pen. And I sat there working on the sermon. Parishioners would come. We were serving our first church. Parishioners would come and they'd visit for a while. And then I'd say, "You don't need to stay," because I wanted to get back to working on my sermon. God has blessed me with an ability that is agonizing to Ellen sometimes, but an ability to concentrate and shut out detractions. And so I could focus on the sermon and kind of manage the fear. But the best thing was I was absorbed in God's word. I was absorbed in my faith in something bigger than myself, in a sense of God's presence. And what would I say to the congregation the next Sunday out of God's word? My faith, not just the distraction of the activity, but my faith in that process helped me deal with my fears. 4 hours later, Dr. Neil Moosey, how's that for a name? Dr. Neil Moosey came out of the surgery to tell me how it had gone, and Ellen loves telling this story. I said, "Can you wait just a minute while I finish this sentence on my sermon?" He was astounded. I was afraid with an existential fear, a fear of death, a fear of loss, of the possibility of having children. I was deep down afraid, but my faith, working on that sermon, helped me deal with the fear. And so for you, whatever you're scared of, deep in your heart, whatever's blocking you from the free and beautiful and wonderful life God wants for you, and from seeing Christ's presence coming into your life and into our world as troubled and scary as it is, whatever fears are blocking you from that, faith in Christ coming can help you deal with the fear and move into the beautiful, peaceable kingdom that God wants. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. As the angel said to Joseph and to Mary and to the shepherds and to us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What are we waiting for? We move to a time of communion. Christ came, Christ is here.